Blog Talk Radio.
Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And happy, happy, happy new year to each and every one of you. Please excuse my voice. I have a cold, and so my voice is a little scratchy this evening, but to God be the glory. And I want to just say welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Praise be to God. Excuse me. Ay, ay, ay. It's going to be one of those evenings. But as I said, please bear with me. Praise God. At this time, I like to say a prayer. And after the prayer, we will welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
be to God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." In Psalms 89:15 says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord." Psalms 105:4 says, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." In Luke 10:39-42 says, "She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Relax in my healing presence. As you spend time with me, your thoughts tend to jump ahead to today's plans and problems. Bring your mind back to me for refreshment and renewal. Let the light of my presence soak into you as you focus your thoughts on me. Thus I equip you to face whatever the day brings. This sacrifice of time pleases me and strengthens you. Amen. Do not skim on our time together. Resist the clamor of tasks waiting to be done. You have chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And again, I wish each and every one of you a very happy new year and a prosperous one. Health, strength, endurance, love, peace, in each and every one of you. Amen. In Jesus' name. At this time, I will play another selection. And again, please excuse me, my voice, and I have a cold and laryngitis, so forgive me for sounding like a Mickey Mouse. Amen. God bless you, and I hope you enjoyed this selection.
Jesus walked the earth today, would he have dreads, would they be gray? And I wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Fellow man, would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you? And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. What will Jesus do? Listen. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like. He looks like you.
Amen. Praise be to God. precious and loving Father, as we entered into this new year, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins we committed in the old year, and to clean us up, Lord God, in this new year. Watch over us, protect us, keep us safe from all hurt, harms, and dangers. Bless us, Lord God, heal our bodies where we need to be healed. Walk with us, Lord God, guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Let this day and every day be all about you and not about us, Father God. We love you. We honor and adore you. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for life and for strength, for health, for wisdom and understanding, Lord God. We thank you for our neighbors. We thank you for our enemies, Lord God. We ask that you continue to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. We ask that you walk with us each and every day, talk with us each and every day, and lead us each and every day into your loving word, that we may one day be in eternal life with you, Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. And we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord God, that we may have eternal life through him. We thank you for him sending back the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. Continue to let your will, Father, be done in our lives. I ask that you watch over our families. Watch over our neighbors, Lord God. Protect our children and keep them safe from all hurt, harms, and dangers, Lord God. Let your will be done, and each and every one that is here tonight and those who would like to be but can't be. And Lord God, we ask that you bless each and every one. Bless our president, our first lady. Bless our pastor and first lady, Lord God. Bless our deacons and deaconesses. Bless our psalmist, Lord God. Bless our Reverend Clyde Bolden and our brother Jake, Lord God. Strengthen them and guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. Let your will be done through them, Lord God, that they may continue to preach the word and to bring souls into your kingdom. Strengthen them this day and every day, Lord God. We pray that each and every one will have a happy and a healthy and prosperous new year. Lord God, we thank you for Block Talk Radio, that we are able to be on tonight to bring forth a word from to the people, Lord God. And again, we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, All the Details. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. And it says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Again, just excuse my voice because at least I can speak. Earlier, I couldn't say a word. So when thinking about God's will, it is easy to accept that he has grand plans for the church, nations, and even the world as a whole. But perhaps it is not so easy for you to believe he has plans for you individually. That would mean that the sovereign Lord of the universe cares about you specifically, about the intimate details of your life, despite your flaws, failures, and mistakes. Even if we believe that in our minds, sometimes embracing it when things go wrong is not so easy. We wonder how God could let difficult things happen if he really cares for us. But Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 30, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. If he would pay attention to how many strands of hair you have, do you think he would be less diligent about the path of your life? He truly cares about all your details. So entrust them to his hands and count on his faithfulness. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, we believe you care about our future. Teach us to love you more and entrust each moment of your loving hands. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. All the details. To God be the glory for the reading of his mighty word. At this time, again, we are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Again, if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
All to the glory of God. Belongs to him in the fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. We pray his holy. As far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on the thousand hills. His love.
Over them and let good health, happiness, answered prayers, and many blessings be their portion. If someone is hurting today, Lord, may you comfort them with your love, grace, peace, and mercy. Lord God, we thank you that no one was hurt during the the earthquake in Queens this morning, Lord God. We are praying, Lord God, for the people in Japan, that they will find some survivors during that awful, awful plane crash, Lord God. Starting off the year with so much tragedy, Lord God, we ask that you intercede on behalf of the people, Lord God. Let your will be done in this situation and every situation. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, again, I will play another selection, because our God is so awesome. Without him, we are nothing. And Lord God, we are so grateful and so thankful that you love on us and forgive us for our sins and just do what you do as a father for your children, Lord God. We pray that everyone will open up their eyes, their hearts, and receive you, Lord Jesus. Because without you in our lives, there is no light. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. If you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it.
Awesome.
Come on, somebody say, he's mighty.
He's
in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is
awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken. Strength when I've been weak.
Praise His holy name.
Somebody ought to celebrate the awesome God.
Oh.
God. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 27, and our focal verses are 26 and 27. Amen. And it says, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says, and this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me. Praise be to God. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word then, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, and that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Our focal point, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. To God be the glory, and may the Lord richly bless each and every one for the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Let's all thank God for another day. Each week is a new opportunity to better ourselves and trust God with anything we are struggling with. He will make a way, my brothers and sisters. He will make a way for you and for me and for whomever that would serve him and keep his commandments. Amen. Praise be to God. And while we are waiting for our speaker this evening, I will play a selection, Bread of Life, for Jesus is our bread of life.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a constant God. You are the
awesome ruler.
we'd like to call you Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
This evening, hopefully will be with us momentarily, and while we're waiting, I will play another short selection. Right now, we're just gonna call on Jesus. Praise God.
Throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations, but there are one thing I come to know without a doubt, is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair. Fall down on your knees, they help to save your feet. Cast your cares on Him, He'll supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, He'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and He will see you through. You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, He will stand.
He'll show the way. Through all of your trials, you must trust and believe. I'm a witness that through faith and prayer, you shall receive. Through your faith, your eyes will be open. Through the hope He is in the Father, He saved us for His own purpose.
And full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind at ease. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
I'm good. Bless the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
And how are you? I know your voice is. Have you been taking care of it? Your cold?
I'm trying to, but it's like, you know, every so often it'll come, and then it'll go away. Then I get cold chills. Then I get hot chills. I don't know. It's probably, well, it's not the flu, and it's not COVID, so I don't
know
what.
Okay, wait. Did you go to the appointment for the testing? Oh, you don't get the results right away, right?
Oh, no, no.
But
no, I didn't. I went for a mammogram. I didn't go for a testing. Testing,
right.
I mean, myself. I test myself at home, and the test is negative.
Okay. So, but we gotta wait for the results, right? You gotta wait for the results.
For what?
From the mammogram.
Oh yeah, that's gonna take about a week or so.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that I'm not even worrying about that one. I'm just wondering why, you know, I have this, my voice is going away. Normally, I don't get colds and stuff, but, you know, since the pandemic, it's like everything just starting to come down upon you, you know? And then, you know.
The colds are lasting longer.
Yes, they really are. It's like they normally they would last you about a few days, but come on, now lately, you know, and then they got this whooping cough disease. This man and his whole entire family had it. And he said that they're now going into the second month.
Mm-hmm.
They done had it for almost 2 months now. Mm-hmm. So, and they're telling people to get vaccinated, but I mean, come on, how much junk can you put in your body? Okay, our speaker is here. And now,
good evening, ladies. How are you?
Good evening. We are well. I'm good.
Great.
I sound like Mickey Mouse, but I'm good.
Oh, you feeling well? Not feeling well?
No, you know, I don't know what happened. I woke up the day after New Year's Day, and then my throat was on fire, and then I started coughing. Yeah, but I don't have COVID. That's the thing, whole thing. I don't know what the heck it is.
Well, maybe you did a little too much celebrating and lost your voice.
I wish.
Just a little bit too much.
Maybe I wouldn't have been in the state that I'm in if I was celebrating.
What was that?
I said, maybe I wouldn't have had a goal if I was celebrating.
My.
Yes,
anyway,
yes,
I'm glad you knew boy.
Yeah, it's just the voice, you know. I hate sounding like Mickey Mouse. It sounds horrible.
No, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Okay.
Good evening, Deacon and Valerie. How are you?
Good evening, praise the Lord. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. We had a change of plans. I had a doctor's appointment today, and it kind of extended longer than I thought it would. And by the time I would have got home and tried to get out of here by 5:40, I would have missed it. So I said, let me just go on the line. All right? So here I am.
Yay! I'm sorry about the doctor's appointment, but I'm glad to have you here.
It's okay. I wasn't meant to be there, apparently. It was all right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to get started. And, again, I'm so glad you're here, ladies.
Thank
Precious
you.
And Heavenly Father.
You're here too.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Precious
praise
and,
God.
Praise the Lord. Precious and Heavenly Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. And, Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us the strength for the struggles and allowing us to see a new day that we've never seen before. This January the 2nd, Father God, you got us all here to 2024. And for that, we say thank you. Because you didn't have to do it. We just thank you for letting us see a new day, a new month, a new year. And we praise your holy name. God bless everyone that's on the line. Bless them in any capacity that they need to be blessed, whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritual, relational. Anyway, Lord God, you know what it is that they're lacking in, and I pray that you will give them the desires of their heart. And we can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So thank you for being the unconditionally loving God that you are. No matter what your bad children do, you still give us a chance to come back to reconcile and to get it right with you, Father. So again, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and Father, for what you're doing right now. So bless those who are not on the line, Apostle Wiggins, Apostle Mother Wiggins, First Lady Nadine, Belinda, all of those who are not on the line, Reverend Clyde,
Brother Jake,
all of them, Lord God, thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us to know them, to see them, to love on them, God. And again, for Kenny, if there's anything I have omitted, Lord, you know, for the best of it, please make it come true if it be thy will. We love you. We adore you. Can't do nothing without you. Bless the children, Father. Bless them. Bless them. Allow them to follow you, to be led by you, and know that they follow you, Lord Jesus. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son, our Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Praise be to God.
Praise be to God. And now we're going to get back to our lesson. We're in chapter 47, and the name of it is the Post-Ascension Ministries of Christ. And we didn't get very far last week, but that's okay. We're in section, if you're on page 316, no.
313.
We're on 313?
Mm-hmm. We didn't make it. We only made it to one.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Present ministry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke of, we didn't pass that already?
No, we're on number two. That's where we did one, and then
okay, I got you. I got you. I got you. Okay, so the thank you. The lesson talked about the past ministry, and now we're going to talk about section two, the present ministry. As head of his body, who was his body?
The church.
Amen. Us. By his resurrection and ascension, our Lord was positioned in the place of honor at the right hand of the Father to be head over the church, his body. Ephesians 1:20-23. This involves a number of specific ministries he performs in relation to the body. Number one, he formed the body. He formed the body by sending the Spirit on the day of Pentecost to baptize believers into the body. Acts 1:5-33, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Though the Spirit's work of baptizing is the immediate agent that affects placing people in the body, the ascended Christ is the ultimate agent because he sent the Spirit. The practical effect of this new position should be disassociation from the old life and demonstration of newness of life. So we're going to take a look at Ephesians 1:20-23. Mm-hmm. Evangelist, look at that.
Okay. Okay, Ephesians 1:20-23 says that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader of anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Amen.
Yeah. Okay. I believe we read that already. We're on page 314. Well, that's where we are now. We read that already. We were talking about the peripheral world being peripheral to the church, or the church being peripheral to the body. Remember that?
Yeah, peripheral.
Yes.
Yeah, because you had Googled it, and it, yeah.
Right.
Okay. But that's where I checked off.
We did this already.
All right.
So this is at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. So what is peripheral again?
going towards, and we said it was like the perimeters around or something.
Right. Outside of. So Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not outside of the world. The world is outside of the church. Can you? Oh, my Lord.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that, Evangelist. I mean, Valerie.
That was Valerie.
You,
thank you.
You, I know. I'm just trying to say she's an evangelist, too. It flipped, but I meant her. Valerie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, go. Were you saying something? No? Okay, I'll go on. We don't want to waste a lot of airtime, okay? We're on the radio, like, so we don't have a lot of time for time wasting, all right? So, where's that? So we're on page 314, section 2. He cares for his body in a number of ways. He sanctifies it, Ephesians 5 and 26, a reference to the entire process of sanctification that begins at conversion and continues until we are presented perfect in his presence in heaven. Conversion in this passage is signified by the reference to washing and with the word, the former apparently referring to baptism, and the latter to the public confession by the one being baptized at that time. Any concerns, any thoughts?
But what does that,
okay.
I mean, like, okay, we say washing, so we know that. Is he talking about washing of the feet and then?
No,
the
we're talking about baptism.
Right.
We're talking about being baptized.
Okay.
So, he sanctifies it. Talk about he cares for his body in a number of ways. And remember, we are the body, right?
Right, right.
So Jesus cares for us in a number of ways. He sanctifies it. Deacons Valley, would you get Ephesians 5 and 26?
Sure.
Ephesians 5 and 26.
Ephesians 5, 26 reads, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Amen. That's it?
To make her holy.
Well, that's 26.
Wash.
Okay,
yes.
That's it. Okay, I'm going to thank you. Read 25 through 28. And I say that only because that's the way my book is divided up. I can't specify and go in on 26. I can't just zoom in on 26 and Evangelist Fielder already knows that. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong thing. That was 22.
Can I read the King James Version?
No, I'm still reading. Number 25 through 28. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. This is for the husband. A love marked by giving, not... wonder why they would even say that. Any thoughts? How would Paul even say that?
What Bible is your Bible again?
I didn't hear you.
What Bible, what version is your Bible again?
This is the Message, M-E-S-S-A-G-E, the Message. So the question on the floor is, why would Christ said it, but Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Any thoughts about that?
A love marked by giving, not getting. It's a very unselfish attitude. You're just worrying about giving and not getting. Very unselfish. I heard that recently that a selfish wife or husband could really ruin the marriage because not all about one is two. That becomes so united that they're one. And just like we as Christians, the body of Christ, have to be on that one accord, two cannot walk together unless they agree.
That's biblical.
You have to be on the same page. Agree to disagree, but let's be on the same page. Let's not talk, you talk sports and I talk drama, because we're not listening to each other, right? Okay, I'm talking too much. Can I read the King James Version?
When I finish. May I finish?
Yes, bring the message.
Thank you. Okay, so Christ love. Hold on one sec. Take a sip of this and I'll be better at this. Thank you. So, Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. Okay? Go ahead, Deaconess Bow. You're gonna read 25 through 28, okay?
That's
my husband home.
Husbands,
love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't know how powerful that is. Christ loved the church is because husband's order. The church is a wife of Christ, right? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So if Christ would consider the church a wife, and he's all about love,
Christ is considered the church's husband. The church is considered the woman. We are the woman.
Yeah, that's what I said. The wife.
Body.
The church is considered the wife, and Christ is considered the husband there. A good husband there. Oh my God. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And that's cleansing of the church through the word baptism, and what is it? It's the spirit and the water that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle.
That's right.
Or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That reminds me of the holy commandment to love others, your neighbor, as you would love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You do better when you know better, but love me as much as you know how to love yourself.
Mm.
Wow.
Do we do that?
Excuse
do
me?
We love our neighbor as we love ourselves?
Are we supposed to? But
well,
no.
Not if we're scornful.
I didn't ask you do what we supposed
not
to.
Not if we're
that's biblical. You're supposed to. I said, do we do it?
No.
We do it. As Christian women, I'm not saying we don't do it. But when you have a scornful and a vain spirit, you can't because you're looking
when
down.
When you put that butt in there, that changes anything you said prior to.
Thank you.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
I said
a couple of things.
But
I said when you're vain when you're scornful, and then, but that has nothing to do with being a Christian, trying to be humble and loving
what?
To all that God put. Is being a scornful person and a vain person. God hates a proud look, and that means a vain person. God loves that. He hates that. So how can you love somebody like yourself if you have to first be better than them? You're not putting that person on your level at all. So how could you love that person like you love yourself?
But then you have to love yourself before you can love anybody else.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And if you're on that level, I mean, you know, all you could do is love. All you could, if my parents taught me that love was just making a good spread and feeding everybody. That's what I want to do for my neighbors. If they said giving, they taught me just to give money, give. That's what I would do to express my love to my neighbors. That's how I would want people to show love to me, and that's how I would show. That's why I came out with the statement, you do better when you know better. But until then, as you are, you love yourself as you are, and you do what you know to do, how to love others.
Okay.
Y'all let me talk too much. Y'all, I think it's one more scripture.
No, that was just
it's
enough.
One more scripture? Okay, no, it's not. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So I just seen that, how God sees the church or the body of Christ a wife. And that spirit is really sweet sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't mind me sharing when this Christmas. You know, some you know, you in and out of love, but this Christmas, God, Clyde showed me my gift, the very expensive watch machine, and gave me some of, you know, half of the money before, you know, and that was just, it was a nice lump sum, and I felt, you know, that was a nice evening. It was like I went somewhere. But, you know, to have that relationship with the body of Christ, coming that agape love to coming from Christ.
It's called agape.
I'm just seeing that.
Agape.
I'm just seeing that. I'm just
Did
seeing
you hear me?
That. What are you saying?
I said it's pronounced agape.
Agape.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Agape. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Agape love. And so what is
I'm sounding like my neighbors in the Bronx. We can't pronounce stuff.
What is agape love?
It's great evangelism. The kind of, it's godly love.
And conditioned
love. It's godly love. Nobody love you like God.
Nobody.
Said, what is it? I will sow your sins in the sea of forgetfulness, but me, get me not, I'm going to bring it up. I'm just joking.
unconditional
love.
Unconditional.
Loving someone in spite of their flaws.
Yeah.
Right.
Knowing full well that you're flawed too. You know,
exactly.
You're going to look at someone and say, I can't love them because they're not perfect. Look at yourself. Pass yourself in front of that mirror before you decide to say that the other one is not fit for whatever.
Well,
fit for the kingdom.
I think God will step down and pull you up out of the muddy track. But God knows. He knows. You cannot fool God. He knows there's wicked and there's good.
He knows
his child are calling on him in every situation, every trial and tribulation. God will eventually step in. And he watch that man take one step, and he'll pick him up and carry him right out of all that mess.
Oh,
but
yes.
Okay.
The people, he know the Bible's divided. The wicked shall perish, and the righteous shall see eternal life, shall see God. And that wicked person will be spit out, just like the word of God said. God, he already knows us. He ordained us. But the sad thing, I mean, and the word is true. God don't lie. There's wicked people in the world. They won't change. They go to their grave like that. That's probably why he made a pool of hell for them.
Okay.
But isn't that the person themselves is not wicked, is the demonic spirit that's inside of them,
right?
That's wicked,
true.
That makes them
it's
do
true.
The things that they do. Remember
it's
when
true,
Jesus
but they surrender to those spirits, just like we surrender to Christ. They won't let it go. They won't give it up. They're wallowing in it and even some pleasuring themselves with it. You know, some people they could get so sick to their love, their insanity. They out there or flip out their way out there to no return, and they're laughing in pleasure because they won't give up their sinful ways. That's not that illness is sin. Sin in some cases.
Well, if I may, and we're going to get back to our topic, a lot of people that are wicked don't know God.
Right.
They do not know him. They're on the outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be changed. I do believe there's hope.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Even
yes.
for the wicked,
I believe
they have to be, drawn in to God. He draws them.
But,
right?
But,
they come to Jesus.
But, Barbara, I understand
he has
what you're saying.
I'm talking Valerie. Valerie.
Okay, go ahead.
Valerie. The same rule applies
when we're
having daughters of divinity. Well, it's the same thing. Be polite. Okay? The same rule applies when we're talking about wickedness, when people
I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
You're talking while I'm talking, darling.
Are you talking to me still?
Yes, you're talking. I'm trying to talk, and you're talking over
me. If you're talking to me, why can't I talk? I don't understand what you're talking. You're
talking
to me,
to
or you're saying, talking about this?
I'm talking.
Lesson.
Okay, let's go on to the next part. Forget about that part. He sanctifies it, talking about the body. And we read that, Valerie read that in Ephesians 5:26. A reference to the entire process of sanctification that begins at conversion and continues until we are presented perfect in his presence in heaven. What does being sanctified mean?
Cleanse.
Okay.
To me, it means being, to me it means being, to separate yourself from the world, to go out there and live among the world and don't do the things that the world do. That's
okay.
Sanctification to me.
And then, as it says, it's an entire process that begins at conversion. So we're not, it's a process. We're not made holy at once. And the Bible says none are holy, no, not one.
Nope.
So nobody's holy. I don't care if it's the Pope. He's not holy. He said something the other week. He said something the other week that caused a lot of people when he said it was, I think he said it was okay for two men to marry or whatever, to be in a relationship. Okay, so I don't know where that thinking came from, but you can see just from that something is not quite, you know. We don't want to be so politically correct that we change people's ways of thinking and looking at what God has said, okay? You're trying to make the gays feel right, but that's not what God said. God says it's an abomination for
that's
a man
right.
to sleep with a man and for
that's
a
right.
woman to sleep with a woman or for an uncle to sleep with his niece. Or a son-in-law to sleep with his mother-in-law, and all of those things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And just because the Pope says it doesn't mean it's right. I'm getting off topic. We're still talking about sanctification. It's a process, all right? It changes. We change, okay? Because we're on the road to being perfect. We're not perfect. We will never be down here on earth. We will never be, but we're striving. For perfection. Too many people say when they do something that's not right, oh, you know I'm not perfect. Yeah, but you're not even trying.
Hey, thank you.
You're not even trying.
Exactly.
And that's a crutch that people fall back on, talking about, you know I'm not perfect. No, we know you're not, but can you try?
Mm-hmm.
Going right ahead.
I'm not perfect. I admit I am not perfect, but I am trying. And I'm not ever going to pat myself on the back because I believe, like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Let somebody tell you you're nice before you telling everybody you're nice. I don't do that. But to piggyback on what you said, just something I wanted to interject. When you said we're not perfect and there's some people struggling and trying to get to God and change their life, that's true, but there is God. God knows too. God knows us. Some people just won't. They just won't change their ways. They're stubborn. They can act like, put on a persona, come to church, shout, pray, preach. But God knows. God knows us. God knows our heart.
Yes,
God knows
God,
our heart.
If I can add, God knows everything. He's omniscient.
Absolutely.
He knows everything.
He knows what you're going to do before you do it.
He knows past, present, and future. He knows
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but I still say that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
That whosoever, that includes the evil one, the dirty ones, the clean ones, the ones who think they're holy, the unholy ones.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever believes in him should not perish.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Some Bible say shall not perish.
Exactly.
But
either
way, you're talking while I'm talking. And so, I know what I'm saying may not be relevant to you, and I know you want to say something, but just give me a moment to finish it, and then you can take it,
no,
okay?
No, I don't, because I don't want to argue. I'm just trying to study.
It's not an argument if you just be quiet while I'm talking. I'm trying to facilitate
no, thank
your
you.
Class, okay?
Thank
you can talk,
well,
but not while I'm talking, because you're not listening.
Okay.
And I'm not listening to you, because it's like a little, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what you even
Baba,
said.
Baba,
you're
so insulting. When you say that, don't you know
okay,
you
I'm
always
insulting.
Chopping
all
people
right.
up when you do?
I'm telling you what you sound like when you're over-talking.
I'm sorry you don't like my voice. I'm sorry. But
I
you
didn't
know,
say anything like your voice. Insulting. Don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say
Baba,
that.
You should have told me to be quiet in the beginning of the night because...
Okay, can we get
out of every week, Valerie?
Can we do this? We got 13 minutes.
You don't appreciate when I do listen. Or you keep saying I don't.
You don't know me, Valerie. You don't know me, so don't say that.
I'm not studying you. All I know is what you're saying to me.
Okay, let's get off of that because we only have 12 minutes now, okay? And so, his presence, I'm sorry, conversion in this passage is signified by the reference to washing and with the word, the former apparently referring to baptism, to answer Evangelist's question, was that washing the feet? No, it's talking about being baptized,
right.
And the latter to the public confession by the one being baptized at that time. So once they are baptized, they may come with the word, not
okay.
like a preacher. But they may testify and speak on the fact that now they are different, you know, supposedly
yes.
made new. We are new creatures, supposedly.
Yes.
So if
supposedly.
You're a new creature, you
yes.
don't act like you used to act.
Right.
All
right? Right. You're not supposed
your ways have changed. If you, and again, it's a process.
Yes.
You're not going to be that new creature immediately. At least
no.
not consistently, let me say that.
Yeah.
You're not going to stay like you know you need to be necessarily consistently. You're going to fall. You're going to trip. You're going to, but you need to get back up again and start all over again. Try it again. Stay in the race. Stay in the race.
That's what Don,
we're all running
what Donnie,
for our lives.
Donna McKirkland says, we fall down, but we get right back up.
But we
again.
Get up.
Yes, we do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so his work of sanctifying includes nourishing and cherishing his body. And again, who is he talking about here?
The church.
Evangelist 5, Ephesians 5 and 29, Evangelist.
Okay, Ephesians 5, 29 says, ooh. Where is 29? Oh, no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. So we're not supposed to hate our body. We're supposed to care for
right.
our body. So if you care for your
mm-hmm.
body, then you're supposed to care for your fellow man, brothers, sisters,
right.
cousins, uncles. Everybody, you're supposed to love
fellow
them
man, yes.
the same way you love yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that includes abuse.
Yes.
You don't abuse your body.
That's right.
And you know we abuse our body in overeating, overdrinking,
yes.
Yes. fighting, and
yes.
arguing, and
yes.
this causing a lot of drama and trauma. To the body.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Even if it's not physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
Those things. Especially if you're eating the wrong food. Come on.
Oh, man. I eat
so
the wrong
need to
food
learn,
every day.
We need to learn how to eat the right things. Not saying you're not going to skip and slip and have a donut. With, it might not have been on the menu for you. You know, but you don't want to do that every day. Don't flip and eat it every day. It's okay.
Yeah, okay. Tell that to
me. It's okay. It's okay. All right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so to nourish means to bring to maturity. I like that. As in Ephesians 6 and 4. Valerie, would you read that, please, darling?
Ephesians 6 and 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, I think it says the fathers provoke not your children, and I think I heard it, fathers provoke not your sons, I felt like that father is like a powerful being and the nourisher, the shepherd that can nourish a child or the children of God, but not through provoking and bringing out the anger in them, to nourish with that agape love.
Absolutely.
Amen. And with the agape love, that means you're going to give them a break sometimes, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You don't crash down on them and tell them what they did wrong or say, you know, whatever you say that you didn't care for their behavior. Sometimes let it slide, you know?
Yeah.
And they may catch themselves. They may catch themselves and come to the realization that mommy or daddy didn't say anything about that. So you know what? I got to be better the next time. I can't, whatever it is they did, you know, that was not quite right, I'm not going to do that again. Because she didn't yell at me when I did it, and I know she saw me. You know, so give them a break. That's love.
Yep.
That's love. Absolutely. You don't have to come down on them every time they do something wrong.
True. That is so true.
Okay. That's child abuse.
My daughter said, you never listen to me. So, yep, now I'm listening.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so parents can learn too.
Absolutely.
Parents can also learn. Good.
Unlearnable.
Valerie, you wanted to add something?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So we're going to go on. That was Ephesians 6 and 4. To cherish means literally to keep warm, thus to love and care for his children. So if you, again, getting back to overlooking certain things, if you love and care for that child, you're going to be warm towards them. You're not going to always fussing, and you can't never do nothing right. You just like your grandmama, whoever, you know.
Yes.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. They're precious.
Yeah.
Don't forget, so are you. You're precious.
Yeah.
All right. And we are to be.
My grandmother used to always say, "You break one of the devil."
Say what?
What?
And then my grandmother used to always say, "You break up the devil." When we came,
you break up the devil. Okay. All right. Now wait. What does that mean? Why? Why'd she say that?
I don't know what it meant, but that's what she would say to us. She would say that to us kids every time.
Okay.
I don't know what it meant.
Wow.
Okay, very good. Very good. So, let me check my time here. 7:55. We're going to stop right here. This is the end of that paragraph, and we're going to stop.
But we didn't read.
Well, is that the end? Wait, that's not the end. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, it was. We're going to go to the last portion of it. 1 minute. Slow down a second. To cherish means literally to keep warm, thus to love and care for his children. The mm-hmm. only other occurrence of the word is in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Would you read that, please, Evangelist? And then we're going to stop right there.
Okie dokie. Now let me find
1 Thessalonians 2, before Timothy.
Yes.
Is it before Timothy? Yeah, before Timothy or after Timothy?
Before.
Before Timothy, okay.
Two, 1, 2, and 7. And it says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you. But instead, we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just, okay. 1 and 7. Okay, I'm going to read that. In the message.
Thank you.
Do you know what happened?
I said thank you because when I read it, it just don't sound right.
It's okay. It's okay. Do you know that all over the provinces of both Macedonia and Achaia, something like that, believers look up to you? The word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. People come up and tell us how you received us with open arms, how you deserted the dead idols of your old life so you could embrace and serve God, the true God. They marvel at how expectantly you await the arrival of his son, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from certain doom. Amen.
Amen.
And this is Convictions of Steel. That's the topic of that section. 1 Thessalonians 1. So to God be the glory.
Praise.
For the things he has done.
Yes.
That was supposed to be 2 and 7. Wait a second. 2 and 7. I read 1 and 7. 2 and 7. Did you read 2 and 7?
Yes. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you. But instead,
we were like
children.
Okay, so and even though, this is starting at 6 to 8, even though we had some standing as Christ's apostles, we never threw our weight around or tried to come across as important with you or anyone else. We weren't aloof from you, with you. What does that mean? We weren't aloof with you.
Aloof?
A-L-O-O-F. Valerie?
A-L-O-F.
A-L-O-O-F.
Y'all left these seizures. I don't know what book you're in.
We're in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2.
Oh, okay. Chapter 1, 2.
Chapter 2, verse 7. So we weren't aloft with you. In other words, we didn't have our noses stuck up in the air. We weren't conceited with you. We took you just as you were. We were never patronizing, never condescending, but we cared for you the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly, not content to just pass on the message. We wanted to give you our heart.
Yes.
And we did. Amen. So this is called, the vision is entitled No Hidden Agendas. And this is how the apostles came at the people, with not being a love, not being unreachable, and nobody can talk to them when they're not standing in front of the congregation because they're so high and mighty so much and so, you know, so high. They didn't come across like that. They came across as they dearly loved these people that they were speaking to. And that's how we need to come across. Okay. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So it's 8:01. Who wants to take us out?
I don't, but I will, because I don't want, I want to give you a rest, your throat a rest.
Thank you.
I don't have any thoughts. I come to you as humble as I know how, Jesus. Ask Father God that you first remove all that is not of you within us, so that we may be able to get fervent prayers to you, Jesus. Father God, I'm asking you to wash us as white as snow, Lord God. Purge us as you do with hyssop, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, accept our repentance. Sorry for whatever I've said and done this week that was not of you, that was not of God. And Father God, let this study continue on, Lord God. We're halfway through. Let us get all the way through and be able to flip the book back and forth into, you know, Lord God, until we get the message. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for that.
God.
And we're leaving off at section 3 on page 314 to be continued.
Oh, okay. 314.
All right. As God sees fit. So thank you for joining us, lady.
Thank you for teaching.
Did you like the lesson tonight? Huh?
I loved it. I loved
the lesson. How did you like it, Valerie? How did you like it?
I don't know. I just, I mean,
be honest.
Yeah, I like that. I like the word. I like the lesson.
Okay.
No, don't say that if you did not like it. Don't say you liked it.
Don't say it if you didn't like it.
I like the lesson, but it seemed like I was thinking and I was going along with it, and then I just shut down. But I liked how it started out, you know, especially that lesson on to love one another as you would love yourself. If I just think that and work with that in my life, you know, sometimes I feel like you could take a scripture and run with it. I feel like I could run with that for the rest of my life, because God wants us to love one another. That's the most important thing. Just don't teach provoking and with anger and false doctrine. You know, he's like, preach truth, preach love, whatever is pure, whatever is righteous, whatever is, you know, good. Think on those things so that we not provoke people, our members, our witness to the church to anger.
It's all right. So, ladies, until next week, be blessed. Love you both.
Love
you all.
Thank you.
Our listeners outside of this phone conversation, hugs, blessings, kisses, and love.
Amen.
Shalom.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year again, ladies.
That's how we said we're going to bring it in, right, Sister Barbara? Love, peace, joy, happiness. Would you?
Yes. I think we need to do another dinner sometime or lunch or something.
Yeah. What's coming up next? Martin Luther?
Nothing in particular, but I'm just saying. Next thing I know, I think it's Valentine's Day. But we don't have to wait for that. We can just see what everybody wants to do. But I think we need to do a dinner. Don't have to be at somebody's house and go out.
I think Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday, that'll be a nice time.
That's about 4 months from now, Valerie.
Exactly.
We'll talk about it at the meeting. Think about it and see what, you know, what people think. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to have a meeting this Sunday. I doubt it, right? May as well wait till the fourth Sunday.
That's the end of the month. The fourth Sunday is the end of the month.
Valerie,
what
do you think? We're talking about Daughters of Divinity. Sure. Let's bring that up. And Daughters of Divinity.
And then you want to wait until the fourth Sunday,
Yeah, but we could plan it right away because you don't want to wait too long. You say you want to go out now, so we could wait till the fourth Sunday, but begin to plan right away.
Mm-hmm.
We could plan that week or during the meeting.
Well, I would say we could plant that seed at the next Zoom service.
Right.
We don't have to have a meeting, but plant that seed, and let's see what happens. We can have an emergency meeting during the week, okay?
Okay.
And by the time the fourth Sunday comes.
Go ahead.
No, go on.
No, I was just saying you don't want to wait till the fourth Sunday to have the meeting, and once we have the meeting, we don't plan within that meeting what we're going to do to get together and go out. We can plan other meetings and finish up that event.
No, what I was saying was we can talk about it on this Sunday, God willing, mm-hmm. not have the meeting, but just bring it up so we can plant that seed. And so when we do have our meeting on the fourth Sunday, God willing, we will have some ideas as to what to do as the Daughters of Divinity, to have a quick dinner, a lunch, or whatever, you know, somewhere. And I think we still need to be thinking about the retreat, trying to get a venue, okay, and who's going to do what or whatever, all right? That'll be for the meeting. But I don't think we need to meet until then. And I was saying we could also meet in between times. We don't have to wait until that Sunday. We can call an emergency meeting and talk about stuff.
Why don't the assistant pastor start the meetings back? We always had a meeting after the church. Why don't you request, that we have a meeting after church? That's where we have our meetings. Right.
Yes,
I don't want to have a meeting until the fourth Sunday, Valerie.
You don't want to have the meeting until the fourth Sunday?
Until the time is supposed to be.
That's why I'm saying either establish a meeting, the meeting up again, or wait till the fourth Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to do?
Let's just wait for the fourth Sunday.
That's what I was saying. Let's wait till the fourth Sunday. Because I know that you guys, both of you agreed to go out right away. But, the best thing for the church is something like Easter, Palm Sunday, or, if you want to get together sooner, I don't mind, but, we could wait till fourth Sunday.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that because we didn't do
anything for the holiday. We're just thinking about, you know, the women get together and go out for dinner or lunch, however you guys, you know, want to do it.
And dinner sounds good.
But to, you know, to have pastor go for a meeting, I still would have to, you know, speak with First Lady to see when pastor can have a meeting or when we could have a meeting. So that's why I said let us just wait till the fourth Sunday at the Daughters of Divinity. And that way everybody is there. And then we can just run it by everybody to see what, you know, if they want to do it or who wants to do it and who doesn't want to do it.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
So thank you.
That's that.
All right.
Okay, ladies.
Hopefully.
I will. Tomorrow he goes for his shot.
When?
He has to go take his another injection for, like, mm-hmm. you know, when I take him outside. And you know how mm-hmm. dogs like to sniff other dogs' pee and all of that mm-hmm. stuff? So I have to make sure that he doesn't get any kind of infection or anything from it.
Okay.
So I'd rather pay the money and let him get the shot than to pay all this money for if he get infection.
Exactly, for his healing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. How much is the shot? How much is the shot?
The shot is like $40-something. It's not
expensive.
That's
not terrible.
No. So that's why I say I'd rather, you know, take him and let him get the shots, whatever shots he needs to protect him and to protect me. Because when he's outside and mingling with other dogs, you don't know if those dogs had their shots or not, you know?
Right. Or if they got some kind of disease. Really.
Exactly. So at least this way he'll be protected.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Preventative care. That's what you want.
Amen. New Year.
Nice. Love you. I'm Gwen.
Yeah.
Have a blessed night. And again, I love you. Love you both.
You
okay.
Too. Love you too. Bye.
Amen. Bye. Amen.
Okay. And on that note, we are out. Good night, ladies. And shalom.
Shalom.
I don't know what's wrong with Val tonight. Val just not herself.